The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Folks, nope, you're not recording. Oh, yeah, you are. Sorry.
Don't tell me how to do my f***ing job.
I can't see. There's too much going on.
You may not know, but we just recorded the drunk show. Now we're recording the answer of the week. Yes.
Also
yes.
Drunk.
Matter of fact, it happens one after another.
So very drunk.
One after another. We are sipping on the cocktail of the week. The cocktail of the week this week we are calling the Brother Grimm.
The Brother Grimm.
Not the Brothers Grimm.
Yeah.
This is one brother.
Okay.
It is two parts eggnog.
Yeah.
One part bourbon.
It's Christmas.
One part dark rum.
Oh, God, dark rum.
Yes.
Okay.
And it is delicious. It is garnished with a little bit of nutmeg, and it is served in a rocks glass. Chin chin.
Chin chin.
That tastes like holiday magic, right?
Wah.
It's like drinking frosting. Oh, my God.
Wah.
It's delicious. Let's get right into it. We're playing the answer of the week. Here's how it works. We ask a question. More specifically, Joe Patrick posts a question on the THN forums.
Yeah.
There. You can answer.
Yes, I do.
You can write to your heart's extent.
Content. Content. Heart's extent is not a thing.
You can write to your heart's content.
Thank you.
You can write as long as you want. There's a bunch of heady nerds there. We all go there to read what you wrote. It is a wonderful discussion of this stuff.
I'm going to say this right now. It might be the booze talking, but my current favorite contributors to the answer of the week.
This guy's wasted.
This has nothing to do with the current question.
Okay, okay.
I'm just saying in general, my current favorite contributors to the answer of the week, Anthony from Brooklyn, Black Scorpion the Three.
Kills it.
Those dudes.
Kills it.
Nail it. Every week.
Kills it.
Week in, week out.
I like you just said those dudes. Like there's a few of them.
Well, there's two of them. Two dudes. Those dudes.
They're both. You said
dudes.
Anthony from Brooklyn.
And Black Scorpion the Three.
Oh, and Black Scorpion the Three. Gotcha.
Get it
Sorry.
Together, bomb.
A little wasted. I apologize. Here's how it works. You can go there. You can write everything you need to write about your answer. Or if you've got the stones.
Yeah, testicles.
You can call us at 402-819.
Or the lady equivalent of testicles.
Which are lady testicles.
Because we do want ladies to call.
They're called lady testicles. I'm pretty sure. I don't know for certain, but I think they're called lady testicles.
Yeah, 402.
You can call us at 402-819-4894.
Yeah.
And you can leave your 2-minute answer. Or
2 minutes!
If you are some kind of supreme internet wizard badass.
Yep.
You can email us your MP3 answer.
Twoheadednerd@gmail.com.
And
that's the email address.
It has to be under 2 minutes because we got to share the air, guys. That's just how it works.
A lot of people call in. We can't have this be a 4-hour show.
That's right. It's not a popularity contest. There are rules. But before we can get into this.
Oh, boy.
I need Joe Patrick.
Oh, man.
To reset the question. It was his idea.
That's going
to
be tough.
I did not love it. I'll be honest. I don't even know if I have an answer.
I got it. This week's question is inspired by the recent announcement of the Paul Dini Vertigo graphic novel featuring Batman that has Paul Dini dealing with the issue of his attack and mugging through the lens of superhero comics vis-a-vis Batman. So the question is, what is your favorite example of a comic of what is your favorite use of comic book icons outside of the context that they normally appear in?
Okay.
We're not necessarily talking about Elseworlds comics. We're talking about something like the most recent Air Boy series.
Right.
Where James Robinson gave a very poignant examination of his life and career through the lens of Air Boy. At this point, it's too late. So who cares what you guys sent in? Because it's all going to count. First up, Anthony, currently from Brooklyn. Matt's typing the notes.
No.
Matt's
typing
something.
I am searching for my answer.
I got my answer. I had my answer the second I asked the question.
And it's not Anthony from Brooklyn. It's Anthony currently residing.
It's Anthony currently from Brooklyn. You don't have to say currently residing in Brooklyn.
Look.
It's Anthony currently from Brooklyn.
Oliver is from Brooklyn.
He's
Anthony, he just moved there.
Brooklyn.
Okay?
Sup, nerds. Anthony, currently from Brooklyn here, with one submission and one submission only, I assure you. Okay. So mine is Action Comics number 800, where anniversary issue, Superman. I think there's a main story to it, but throughout the issue are several vignettes. And these vignettes, Superman doesn't appear in them, but they basically highlight how the existence of Superman inspires people. One story I remember is a woman confined to a wheelchair is forcing herself to relearn how to walk, basically highlighting Superman's never-ending battle. But the main one I want to talk about, and I'm going to try and get through it because it kills me every time I think about it or read it. Anyway, it's a story about a little boy who's dying of cancer, and he's laying in his hospital bed, and the story is told from the point of view of his father, and he's, you know, it's all in text boxes. And he's talking about how, you know, frustrating, you know, everything is and how his son isn't getting better. And he remembers a moment where he was screaming at the boy's doctors because his son wasn't getting better. In fact, his son was going to die. And his son wakes up and he's immediately ashamed because, you know, he's saying things about his son's mortality that like no father should. Oh, man, no father should ever utter, man. Right? And his little boy. Oh, God. Whew. His little boy looks up at him and he says, "It's going to be all right, Dad. They're going to get the kryptonite out of me. I'm going to be all right." And the last text box says, "My son is going to live because he told me so." And the last picture is the little boy smiling with a Superman hat on. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what Superman does. He inspires people better than any comic book character ever. So that's it. Thank you. I'm going to go cry. Bye.
F***ing Anthony.
My hands were over my face and I am crying. I'm crying.
It's true. He's crying.
Oh my God. Matt Baum doesn't have feelings. Matt Baum doesn't live with you people.
If this had not been the drunk show, Matt Baum would not be crying.
Oh my God. That was too much.
I wish I was not drunk because I would have something very smart to say about
that
this.
That was too much.
But Anthony, God damn it.
Oh my God.
You did it.
Seriously, like hands over my mouth. Like I covered my mouth and put my hands over my eyes because I remember that issue. That is too much.
Too
that
powerful.
F-ing beautiful.
Too powerful.
Holy hell.
Anthony, stop being so f***ing good.
I seriously need a moment. That is, wow. Oh, let's go back to dick and fart jokes, please.
Aaron Myers, he's good for dick and fart jokes.
Holy hell. Please do something uplifting.
Hey guys, Aaron Myers here, THN Love Slave, sending in my answer for this week's question. I had something that came to mind immediately, but I had to check with Joe Patrick to see if it was acceptable as an answer, and I have to make a case for it, and stick with me on this one. So my answer is Submariner: The Depths, which is a miniseries originally published in 2009 with an amazing story and great art. If you have not read it, go read it. But while it is about the Submariner and he does make an appearance, it's really more about the main character, the sailor, who is traveling through the depths of the ocean in search of, you know, this creature that had been spotted. But even more so, it's more about how the depths of the ocean and this person's life are representative of each other. So while the Submariner is this sort of looming, mysterious force outside of the story, it's really more about this man's subconscious and life and how the depths of the ocean are so daunting and massive and crushing. So that's my answer and that's my case, and you can take it or you can leave it. All right, bye.
I love that.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And
this is turning out like so much better than I thought I was going to.
Yeah, because you doubted me, and you
I did I
doubt
doubted
me
you
because
I totally
am f-ing smart.
I doubted you. And like my answer, the one that I have, I need to rethink it on the fly because like seriously, the last two have just leveled me.
So Aaron checked with me and he said, "Hey, does this count?" And I'm thinking back on Submariner. Wow.
We're wasted.
You guys.
We're wasted.
I'm thinking back on Submariner, The Depths, and I remember it being much, much more about Namor as this unseen
legend
hinted at,
right,
terror.
He was like a Sasquatch
beneath the water.
Yeah.
And I just love that idea that this guy in a submarine or on a ship or whatever the hell he was so terrified of this legend of this creature, this guy. And I think that's such a great answer. I think it's a really good answer. It's a
fantastic answer. Let's go to
not as good as Anthony's. Sorry. Not,
I mean,
it didn't make me cry.
Yeah. Don't, no offense. I'm not crying. But
no offense, like, Aaron.
Let's go to D. Murray. D. Murray says, this was a very difficult question. I totally agree.
Yeah, it was a difficult question. And a lot of you are going to answer it incorrectly. I know it.
How's it going, guys? D here answering your question of the week. And my answer is going to be Batman Black and White. Now, not every one of the stories involved stories that didn't involve Batman. Some of those stories have stories of people talking about Batman, talking about situations that happen with them that Batman happens to pop up in. And that's what I'm really talking about here. Like the Devil's Trumpet or Legend is one that I'm really thinking about. The story of the mother talking about her interaction with the Batman is more about what happens to her and her point of view. And Batman just happens to be there to save her life as her son falls asleep. That's the only thing I can really think of. The question wasn't, I don't want to say not the best question, but it really made me think. So
it was a good
I appreciate
question.
This question. That's my answer. Batman Black and White. The you guys take
two,
it easy.
The first
I love
two
that
callers
issue.
Knocked it out of the park. You can't tell me this
no,
wasn't a good question.
No, D just knocked it out of the park too. That's a fantastic answer. And the story he's talking about was wonderful. Batman did not star in it whatsoever. I can't tell you the creators worked on it, but it was during the Batman Black and White collection. And it, oh man, it was so good.
My favorite Batman Black and White story was a Brian Boland story that was just this guy, this nerdy dude, talking directly to the camera or the reader, explaining how he would commit the perfect crime if he had the opportunity. So if he had the opportunity to kill Batman, this is how he would do it. He would wait for Batman to be occupied, catching a bunch of crooks or catching a supervillain or whatever, and he would have a very high-powered sniper rifle, and he would snipe Batman from a mile away, and that's how he would kill Batman if he had the opportunity. But ha ha ha, I'd never do it because that's ridiculous. I'm just a normal guy, not a criminal.
Right.
And it's chilling.
Well, but Batman chilling. Black and White was like that. There was a lot of stuff like that. This third-party stuff. There was a story from, I think it was Firebugs or Fire Moth. Firebugs.
Firefly.
No, Firebug. Firebug.
Firefly?
Firebug. Firefly is not who it is. Firebug's point of view, where like he got in a fight with Batman and broke his nose, like punched him and broke his nose and like realized I just pissed Batman off and got his ass kicked, like got like ruined after that, but knew he got one shot in and was like, yeah, eat that, Batman. I totally broke your nose.
Yeah,
it was a fantastic story.
It's great.
So good.
You know what, D? That's a great answer because Batman Black and White has a lot of good examples of exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes. Let's go to Carl Smith, better known as Kemmer Labrillo. I love this guy.
Hey, guys. This is Carl calling in with my answer for the current question. My favorite thing that showed up somewhere it maybe didn't belong was in a movie that was actually written and directed by Greg Pak, and it was called Robot Stories. It was a collection of, I think, like five smaller short films. It was an anthology kind of loosely based around robots, and one of the stories was about a mother who has a son that collects Micronauts figures, and or had collected them, I should say, and he has a terrible accident, ends up in a coma, and try to reconnect and get some comfort during this time, she is cleaning up his place and finds his old toy collection and knew how much he loved and collected these Micronauts, and he's missing some pieces. He's missing a few. And so she starts kind of obsessively hunting down the missing Micronauts figures to try to complete his collection while he's in the coma, just as a connection to her son. She kind of has these flashbacks where she remembers as a kid how important they were to him and how obsessed he was with imagining his play with these toys, so much so he was lost in his own world. And she wants to kind of remember her son and kind of relish those memories through these toys. And for me, that was kind of an allegory for nerd culture in general, just trying to scrabbling to hang on to things the way they used to be. You know, Jason at Legend always says that high water floats all boats, and he's right. But, you know, I don't know what comic books I have right now that wouldn't be in my hand if it wasn't for the Marvel movies being so successful. And I wouldn't know that I wouldn't find something that I love. There's something about hunting down that old stuff that really connects you to a different time in your life. So anyway, that's my answer. Thanks.
That's hot. That is hot.
Yeah, man. I never heard of what he was talking about, but I love it.
That's a great answer. No, I know what he's talking about. That was totally hot. Carl Smith. God damn. We have some heady nerds that listen to this show.
Too smart for his own
God
good.
God damn.
Too smart for his own good.
That was fantastic. Like, this thank you, Camarillo.
Feeble cocktail you've made me. It's already gone.
We don't want to drink that much eggnog or we will spray it all over the toilet.
Trust okay. me. Let's move on then.
Trust me.
Getting her.
But if you need another drink, no. we can do that.
It's time for...
Next up
I am Hambone.
I am Hambone too. Next up is Black Scorpion the Three without
the question. No, I'm the question asker. Sorry.
Yeah. Without this guy, we don't have a show.
Yeah, he is.
Really?
He is like the number one contributor to the show.
Seriously, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's real good.
Take it away.
Nice.
Nerds, I have a bad habit of recording answers, then rereading the questions to find that I'm way off. Note to listeners, it pays to check your work. Well, my answer for this week is actually related to a cult comic that I discussed in last week's scrap submission. In 1982, Steve Gerber was in a heated dispute with Marvel Comics. Marvel was engaged in its all-too-common shenanigans of swindling creators out of their rights. So Gerber released Destroyer Duck through Eclipse Comics, largely as a fundraiser for legal suits. It was actually a good way for readers to see how people in the industry viewed Marvel Corporate.
Wow.
Jack Kirby drew the first several issues, allegedly for free, because of his own beefs with Marvel. Well, the entire plot centers around the little guy. This was a short duck man who is zapped out of the world right in front of our main character, Duke Duck. And as the issues progress, we find that God Corp has been abusing the little guy and doing all kinds of things to swindle people and convince them that their garbage was in everyone's best interests. Well, the little guy was certainly not just any anthropomorphic duck. He was the anthropomorphic duck that Marvel was translating into a movie. It was Howard the Duck. Howard is never mentioned by name, but the existence of Howard the Duck in Marvel is clearly the driving force behind the entire plot. And that's my answer. Oh, and one quick plug, if you'll indulge me. I'd like to plug monthly donations to the THN podcast. You nerds should ask yourself how many comics you buy for $4.99, whether those issues deliver what THN gives you 8 times in a month. Click the button. Give some monthly donations of a buck or two. They're a better investment than half of the monthly titles you're still shoveling money at anyway. See you next time, nerd.
This guy. Are you kidding me?
He's the greatest.
So, Destroyer Duck, in a nutshell, was the antithesis of Howard the Duck. They basically...
Not the antithesis, but the natural progression.
Okay, that's fair. But it was basically them saying, this guy that created Howard the Duck got screwed out of his creation. Here's this other thing that is fighting like against Marvel Comics,
right.
essentially.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer.
That is an
great
amazing
answer. Because Destroyer Duck was not overtly, it was not like, hey, this is Howard.
Like,
but anyone in the know knew that it was
right.
a representation like, of Howard.
Nobody lost their job over this, but anybody in
well, except for Steve Gerber, who probably walked from Marvel for
right
this.
On. But, yeah. but like they knew. They absolutely knew.
Look. Can we just talk for a second about how good Black Scorpion is? Because
God damn,
the dude took time to
that
plug.
Guy does amazing work.
The dude took time to plug donations and stuff.
Like, I don't even care about that. Did the Destroyer Duck answer?
He's a true blue.
That is wonderful.
True blue fan.
God damn.
And I love him. I kiss him on the mouth if he's here because it's drunk show.
So we cried during the first one and then we got a mad boner like during the second one.
Well, we cried during the first one. We kind of what was Aaron's call? I think we kind of got real emotional for the first couple.
No, we did. We did.
And then D. Murray, and then damn, are you? I hope you're taking notes because I don't remember. What
I'm
these
taking
guys,
the notes. I'm taking the notes.
I don't remember what these guys said.
Jim Kettnerd, gotta love this guy. Always comes in strong. He says, "Great question." This is the first time I instantly knew what my answer was going to be without any heavy pondering on the subject. Maybe I overlooked a more subtle answer, but God damn it, I know what I like. Take it, Kettner.
Hell yeah, buddy.
Hi. my name's Chris Parker.
Oh my God.
That's a suburb.
Adventures in Babysitting. Hey,
great question this week, guys.
Thor?
It's the first time so far where the answer just hit me like, well, like a bolt of lightning. A bolt of lightning from beyond the realm of Midgard.
This is wonderful.
That's right. This question has given me yet another opportunity to embrace my inner Thor nerd.
Holy
verily.
Shit.
So, let me tell you guys something. Back in 1987, the world at large was not as forgiving of Thor fandom as it is today.
Favorite answer.
We didn't have Chris Hemsworth.
It ain't over. There's lots of answers.
We didn't have any Loki-centric tumblers. What we did have was a little Chris Columbus film called Adventures in Babysitting.
Chris Columbus?
In which a girl named Sarah had unheard of Thor merch for the late 80s. I mean, Jesus, where did she even get that helmet?
She's that's, wearing
that's
the helmet.
That's something the MCU hasn't even
There's
given
nowhere
us.
To get that helmet.
I can't even begin to describe how crazy it was to see a movie where a kid was an even bigger Asgard geek than me. And Thor fandom aside, Adventures in Babysitting is a fun as hell movie.
Oh,
we've got the immensely crushable Elizabeth Shue singing the babysitter blues. We've got the Lords of Death. We've got hook-handed maniacs. And a skyscraper scene that was legitimately terrifying when I was 9. Last but not least, we have none other than Vincent freaking D'Onofrio as the mechanic Dawson. Or
the God
the
of
Dawson,
Thunder!
As they would say in Asgard.
Thor!
A hammer-wielding near-doppelganger of the Odinson. By Odin's blood, I defy thee to find a more worthy answer of the week.
Oh my God.
But if you do, I guess I gotta sing the THN blues. Well, that's it this week, guys. If you want to hear more from me, check out my podcast, Galacticus, and check out ketnerd.com.
That was amazing!
Yes.
All right, don't get
oh
excited.
Oh my God!
We got a long way to go. There's a lot of answers this week. That is a great answer.
Holy shit, you guys are so good at this. That was incredible. Wow, Ketnerd. I don't even know what to say. I hadn't even thought of that, like the movie aspects of stuff, where they just mention a comic book character. You know what? That just affected my answer. That just affected my answer. Let's move on. I'm not going to get into it.
The British delinquent.
Let's go to the British sex pervert, Jacob Flaxington. Jacob Flaxington.
Whatever you just said.
Hello, THN. This is British delinquent here to answer the question of the week. And the comic I have chosen for the question is Grant Morrison's Flex Mentallo. To give some background to this comic, the comic is about Grant Morrison around his young adult years, where he was 19 or 20, and he was in a band. And at that age, he was incredibly nihilistic. He didn't see the point to his life or anything. And in the comic, he has ingested a lot of drugs, a lot of psychoactive drugs, where he starts hallucinating about superheroes and starts reminiscing about what they mean to him over a suicide chat line. And inhabiting this drug-fueled fantasy is Flex Mentallo himself, who's trying to find out why his world is dying, as Grant has taken too many drugs and he's starting to overdose. In the end, Flex faces off against Grant, as Grant is starting to scream off against Flex, saying that he means nothing, that he is just a muscle-bound power fantasy. And Flex just casually replies to him, "Gamble a stamp. I can show you how to be a real man." This phrase comes from the fact that Flex is a caricature of Charles Atlas's
comic,
The Insult.
Oh my God.
Which is just an advertisement where Charles Atlas is telling a person to send in a stamp so he can send in a program on how to become more muscled and toned and to bear yourself. So Flex's reply really means is that nihilism itself is ultimately pointless, and it's better to gamble your faith and believe in yourself and believe that you can live your life to the fullest. Plex Mentallo is truly a beautiful comic, and I always come back to it. So there's my answer, gents.
Holy fucking hell. Joe Patrick, I want to apologize.
I've never read Plex Mentallo.
I want to apologize. Right now, when you came up with this question, I was like, this is terrible.
I know. You fucking piece of shit.
Didn't like it.
I know better.
I didn't like it.
You don't trust me. We've been together for 15 years.
And I said to myself, no one is going to respond well to this. There is no good answer to this. I was wrong. That answer, that Plex Mentallo answer, like, we had an answer that made me cry. We had an answer that made me raise my hands in the air. We just had another answer that was so fucking meta, I can't even resist it.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
It's great. This is super
fun. But this
fun
has
idea.
Nothing to do with us. This has nothing to do with
it's
us.
It's all you guys.
This is you guys. Holy Ket Nerd. That was amazing.
That wasn't Ket Nerd. That was Flexington.
Pardon me. Holy Flexington. That was amazing. God damn.
Hey,
that's a good answer.
Look, British Delinquent, I have nothing constructive to add other than to say thanks for your call.
This is going to be difficult. When we have to pick our favorite call, this is going to be hard.
I'm so drunk.
I am too. This is going to be hard. Speaking of Jim Kettnerd, Joe Patrick has wicked hiccups right now because we are wasted.
Hiccups!
I've got to be real honest. Speaking of Jim Kettnerd, he has an amazing co-host, Mr. Scott Brown. The guy has a face made for radio. You would not believe this, dude. Let's get into it right now.
Greetings, cigarette dwellers. This is Scott from the Galacticus podcast coming at you from Brooklyn. In terms of your out of context character question of the week, I wanted to talk about a particular movie and a particular character who appeared in that movie, but Kettner and I spoke and we decided that he should get that one. We came up with the same question or same answer, and it seemed to be fit him much more perfectly. So I decided to go with Superman and his appearances in Seinfeld. In fact, that Jerry Seinfeld loves Superman, references him constantly.
Yes.
And the one I want to particularly point out was the Bizarro episode.
Yes!
Of Seinfeld, in which Elaine starts hanging out with a Bizarro version of Jerry, and
wow,
then meets a bunch of Bizarro versions of all of her friends. And these characters are very like them in appearance, but exhibit exact opposite in very particular elements of them. It is a hilarious episode, a classic, and it clearly references the comics, Superman comics and Bizarro World, even to the point where there's a scene where the characters are all speaking with each other. All these Bizarro characters are speaking and speaking opposite of what they mean, exactly like Bizarro, as a little nod to comic fans. It's great. It is also amazing because there are probably many people out there who, even though they hear the reference, just think of this as a Seinfeld thing, not a Superman thing. But I think it fits. I hope it fits. I hope you guys like it, and I'll talk to you soon.
It is time for me to admit that you guys are way smarter than I thought you were.
Yeah, dude.
That is awesome. Such a great answer. Oh my God. The Elaine Bizarro World, where she was like hanging out with all the Seinfeld characters that were like way sweeter, like their exact opposites.
Yeah.
That was an amazing answer. Thank you, Scott. Oh my God. This is going to be difficult. And I'm an atheist. Harvey Locust.
What does that have to do with anything?
I just said, oh my God, you know, whatever.
Oh, okay.
Harvey Locust. He's a stalwart. He's always here. I don't think Harvey Locust has missed a single
yes.
question of the week.
Sure, yes.
I don't think he has.
He has.
I think Harvey's been there every week.
I promise you he has.
I think if you do the research.
He has made comments to the effect that he has missed some episodes.
I think
if
you do the research and you count.
I think that you
okay, are. Okay, fine. Maybe he's missed a couple. I will argue that no one has answered more.
That cannot be true.
Than Harvey Logan.
That cannot be true. Black Scorpion? Anthony from Brooklyn? Come on.
I think Randy Andrews. He's like, maybe there's an argument with Randy Andrews, But I think Harvey Locust is right there.
Like, I will grant you this. Harvey Locust is a very faithful contributor to the answer of the week.
Guy's amazing.
Let's just go with that.
I'm just saying that. I'm saying maybe number one.
He says he's astonished if he's the only one that has this
answer. Hey, nerds, Locust here, MP3, and in my answer to the question of the week. And it's not that it was a difficult question, Matt. It was... It wasn't as difficult as some of the other ones have been.
Calling me out. I like that.
But this one is something that I don't experience a lot in or haven't come across a lot in my comic book reading. And the only thing I could really come up with is Gotham Knights. It's a 4-issue miniseries that's revolved around 4 ongoing stories that kind of intertwined. And they were all just normal folk living in Gotham City, but they also kind of had to deal with Batman in one way or another. Yeah. Not, you know, it definitely wasn't, the story wasn't about Batman and didn't have any Batman narrative, but you have a guy who is a Puerto Rican, I believe. He's like a Puerto Rican gang member, and he has to come up with some money quick. He's, you know, constantly thinking his girlfriend's cheating on him when she's not. Then you have the richy, classy bleep, and the guy who is trying to win her affections, yet she thinks he's gay, and she and then runs off with another dude.
I'll give him this 100%.
And you have the old couple who are facing illness. They have no way to go on, and they kind of make a suicide pact almost. And last but not least, my favorite, the fat chick who works at the donut shop in the Gotham Central hub, whatever you want to call it, and who thinks she's serving Batman every day, and it's really just some dude that's not Batman, and she goes nuts with her gun. But yeah, that's my answer. Later.
Wonderful answer. God damn. Yes, absolutely. Wonderful answer, Harv. Oh, I loved all those comics. They're incredible, and they're all centered around like the people that lived around Batman and never like distinctly saw Batman or came into contact with Batman, but knew that he existed. So good.
What books were we talking about?
There was a mixture of them. It was like through GCPD. There were several of them.
Yeah, fair enough.
are wasted.
I'm very sorry. I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but I'm having a hard time concentrating.
Stop looking at your phone.
So
give me this.
No. The phone is helping me stay focused. I'm just saying that unless your answer is super off topic, I'm having a hard time like staying connected to it. Harvey Locust, you always know what to say.
That was a wonderful answer.
Thumbs up to you. Matt's going to have it in the notes.
Everybody is killing it. We're going to the Master of Coin.
Oh, Stephen Fino?
Stephen Fino.
That guy?
The THN Master of Coin.
He's too smart for us.
He's a very intelligent gentleman.
Too smart.
Although it sounds like he's broadcasting.
Hello again, this is Lord Stephen, Master of Coin, sending in my answer to the question of the week. This question took me a very long time to answer, and I didn't really think of one until today. So my answer is not exactly a character from comics, but in addition to my love of comics, I'm a big fan of literature, having majored in English education and growing up reading some of the classics of the printed medium as a whole. So when it comes to favorite out-of-context use of characters in a comic, I'm going with Alan Moore's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I love seeing all these different characters from books show up in the same world, and the comic is essentially a Where's Waldo of famous literary characters, having everyone from William Shakespeare's Prospero to James Moriarty to Harry Potter. And while it did get very bizarre by the end of the series, including a scene in which Harry Potter kills a man by shooting lightning out of his penis, as a whole, it was a work that I greatly enjoyed. So, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is my pick for favorite out-of-context use of characters. Bye.
That was awesome.
Like you do.
He's not wrong.
You shoot a bolt of lightning out of your penis.
Like, speaking as a man that has fired lightning out of his penis before, I think that is a wonderful answer.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are a few people we trust to understand what we're even talking about, but one of them, he is a lunatic. And I'll be honest, the wastes.
Lunatic or genius? Well, you decide. Like,
yeah, that's up to you. But he's trapped in Maine. The winter has corrupted his brain, has changed him, has made him a different man. He is D'Orca.
Boy, it's nice to have fans. Earlier today, I returned from ice fishing to find a fellow listener waiting on my steps, anxious to meet me.
It's Tim Benson.
At first, I was like, Tim Benson. I didn't call a cab. Did I leave my wallet in one again last night? Then I noticed the Nebraska plates. Some of you guys are so sweet, coming all the way up here just to meet D'Orca. My answer this week is from a movie come out back in 1987.
Oh, shit.
Starring the delectable Elizabeth Shue.
Okay.
Boy, Mrs. Shue's performance, boobies, in that movie drove D'Orca to toe the line between infatuation and outright stalking. Her parents actually live here in Maine, down in Hamden, a suburb of Bangor. I might have hung around those parts on holidays, hoping to, well, let's just say meet Miss Shue herself. Didn't happen, so I had to wait until 1995's Leaving Las Vegas and endure the dreadful Nick Cage for 2 hours to see all of Miss Shue. She was in her mid-30s by then, but still pretty hot. Anyway, I digress. My answer is Thor in Adventures in Babysitting. That was cool.
That's two for Thor.
Back then, the superheroes weren't on the big screen this much, especially Marvel.
I got it.
So that was a real treat. Later, Marvel went back to that actor when they was cast in the Avengers. But he lost all his hair and chubbed up, so they made him Kingpin. Short answer this week, as I mentioned, I have a house guest. And we're going back to playing Deliverance, another great movie with ties to Maine. Say hello to the nerds, Piggy. I mean, Timmy. Hello, nerds. Kiss, kiss, boys.
Whoa.
Yikes. Yikes.
Is going down at the Orca's house. That is two.
Two.
For Thor from Adventures to Babysitting. I love that answer so much.
I do too.
I love it.
I love it even more. Because of the implication that Tim Benson is about to have something very uncomfortable happen to him.
Speaking of Tim Benson squealing like a pig.
All right, I feel like this was an easy question for me, which means I'm probably way off base. And this is not going to count, and you're going to cut me off any minute. But the answer is Daredevil, of course, right? But legitimately this time, right after Kevin Smith, David Mack came on, and Echo was introduced. And right in the middle of this great series with Echo, you get this one shot that's kind of a behind-the-scenes look at what's going on in the rest of the issues. I think Joe Quesada, Jimmy Palmiotti wrote it, and David Haynes, I believe, was an illustrator. David Mack did the cover on this, but it's just a one-shot showing the life of a kid, and I believe his dad, but a kid and his family, and they witness Daredevil and Echo's fight, and the kid starts drawing pictures in school and stuff like this. But it's just a one-shot showing the life of a Hell's Kitchen family having to deal with stuff like Daredevil fights in their backyard. Just real nice, powerful story that I enjoyed. So that's it.
Totally counts. It was Rob Haynes.
It was Rob Haynes, but is he thinking of the David Mack story with the kid whose dad was the supervillain?
I think so.
Maybe that was the story after that. I don't know.
I think it was definitely Bendis and Mack.
Well, after
we're too wasted to know.
Yeah, after Joe Quesada did the art, the Kevin Smith run, then Rob Haynes did a couple issues.
David Haynes. I'm sorry. Yes. He said David Haynes. Rob Haynes. Yes.
But then there was a storyline called, I believe, Wake Up was the storyline. And it was about an abused kid whose dad was a low rent supervillain, and Ben Urich was trying to tell his story.
Yes.
Is that what he's talking about?
I think it's what he's talking about. And it was wonderful.
And the whole thing is like the kid telling the story with Daredevil as like this kind of monstrous force.
Yeah.
I love
and
that.
And like his dad was the good guy and Daredevil was the bad guy.
If that's what Tim's trying to say, then I love that answer.
That was an amazing issue. Yes. That was beautiful.
Good job, Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
Let's move right along.
Let's go to the Google voice.
Zach Hollowell.
Hello, nerds. This is Zach Hollowell, THN's unofficial guy who calls every once in a while when he sort of has an answer to a question.
Yeah, okay.
So Joe's question was a little confusing, and at first I thought I had one idea, but I thought, it's not worth calling over that one. But then I got a different idea, and I thought, this is pretty all right. So mine happens in the pages of a very popular comic book called Preacher. And in the book, spoilers, turn this down or whatever if you're going to watch the TV show, young Jesse's father gets killed. And Jesse needs someone to guide him, a father figure, if you will.
Oh, boy.
And that comes in the form of the ghost of John Wayne. Not really the ghost of John Wayne. It's like his own vision of John Wayne. And he kind of has his, you know, private moments talking with him, helping him stay on track and just sort of being a mentor to him. And I always thought that was really cool. And, you know, there's even a point, you know, where he's, he's a character. He's a person. He's not a character. Well, at one point he actually, if I'm remembering correctly, talks about him being your John Wayne specifically from one of his movies. I don't forget which one, but I always thought that was a really cool sort of twist to have that character in there and acknowledgement of, yeah, this is strange and not real, and you're this character, and you're talking to me. So that's my answer. If it's wrong or I didn't understand the question, you, Joe. I'm never gonna ask again. Thanks.
No, Zach, you killed it. The ghost of John Wayne appearing.
Yeah.
Do Jesse.
No, I think that's pretty great.
Oh, my
I think
God.
That's a great idea. Yeah, John, Jesse Custer just kind of remembering.
Yeah.
His version of John Wayne and how it applies to his life. Yeah, totally counts.
Totally counts.
Wonderful answer.
Excellent.
Wonderful answer, Zach.
Answer. Let's go to our final answer from our good friend, Jeff Hitt. It's getting crazy in the kitchen. People are freaking out.
Cookie Fest is off the chain,
Cookie
y'all.
Cookie Fest is going off
the
leash.
We need to wrap this shit up.
This is crazy.
If we don't put Love Actually on, there's going to be a riot.
Hey, Joe and Matt, this is Jeff Hitt. Sorry this is late, but, you know, children. So I was calling with the best usage of a superhero or a comic character outside of comics and outside of continuity or whatever, however you want to put it. And that instantly makes me think of all the different cool songs that include Superman. And not so cool ones like, you know, Pocket Full of Kryptonite, Jimmy Olsen's Blues.
Boo.
Or cool things like Satriani's Surfing with the Alien.
Love that.
But my favorite superhero in a song is probably a cover song that a little band named R.E.M. did, I Am Superman.
Counts.
Must have danced a number of junior high dances to that song. And though it was never slow dance, you know, because I was probably wearing a Superman t-shirt, I did enjoy it quite a bit and continue to think it's one of the most jangly of all the R.E.M. Songs. So there you go. I Am Superman by R.E.M. That is my pick.
Jeff, bye, guys. I love that you took this to music.
Who would disagree?
Nobody else did that. No one else did. And like, I'm ashamed that I didn't even go there. Like, that is such a wonderful answer. Unfortunately, now we have to pick our favorite answer.
We sure do, Matt.
We have to pick our favorite answer.
And I'm hoping that you took notes because, whew, man, oh man.
Look, one of these answers made me cry.
You only have some of the answers here.
One of these answers made me cry.
It's got to be, for you, it's got to be Anthony from Brooklyn.
It's Anthony from Brooklyn. There's no question. That Superman thing that he laid down, I started crying. I started crying in front of you. Tears came out of my face. No feelings.
Your liquor got the best of you.
I have no feelings. I am a beast among human sheep. Anthony, currently residing in Brooklyn, ripped tears out of me, and I'm going to kill that motherfucker for it. But I'll tell you what, that is the best fucking answer I heard. You welled up with tears too. Don't act like you didn't.
It was
everybody had great answers, but that one killed me.
Do you think that we can forego picking our favorite?
No.
Because
no.
More than one person mentioned Thor. I get such a kick out of the idea of Adventures in Babysitting and the youngest daughter being such a huge fan of Thor.
It was amazing.
And seeing
it was
Thor
amazing
in the real life. Yeah. When obviously he's not Thor.
When
he's
D'Onofrio shows up and she's like, Thor!
I'm giving it to those dudes.
Fair enough.
Orca and Carl
Fair
Smith.
Enough. Fair
if
enough.
If indeed it was Carl Smith, I can't guarantee
We're
it was Carl Smith.
We're too wasted to remember.
Because I'm so drunk. Anyway, so we've done it. Let's move on.
Let's get to us. First.
Yeah, fine.
Go ahead.
I am stunned that nobody said anything about this, but my answer is Superman Secret Identity.
Okay.
By one Kurt Busiek.
All right.
Art by Stuart Immonen. It was an Elseworlds story, sort of, from DC. And the premise is you've got this dude whose parents thought it was a hilarious idea to name him after Clark Kent. In his world, Clark Kent is just a dude, a character, a comic book character. Superman is a comic book character. It more or less is the real world. So his parents named him Clark. Their last name is Kent. They named him Clark. Ha ha ha. Everybody
this.
Has a laugh.
It was great. I remember this. It was great.
Except twist. He grows up and discovers that he actually does have superpowers.
It was the whole thing.
He's got superhuman powers in a world where there are no superpowers. Superpowers are only fiction. Superman is only a character in a comic book. And suddenly he gains the powers of Superman. What the hell did you do when Superman is such an ever-present force in your life growing up and you find out, holy shit, you actually have the power of Superman?
That's some tough shit, man.
Superman's Secret Identity.
How do you deal with that?
It's my favorite example of this sort of thing.
That's great. My answer comes from a movie.
Uh-huh.
Tony Scott.
Tony Scott, Man on Fire.
R.I.P.
He is a dead person.
He is a dead man. He was taken from us too soon.
No, I mean, he committed suicide, so it was his own fault.
I agree, but anyways, you know, we lost him too soon.
Okay.
He made a movie called Crimson Tide.
Yeah, okay.
Starring Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington.
Denzel!
There was an argument that took place between two ensigns on the submarine.
Uh-huh.
And it was about, specifically, about the Silver Surfer. Whose Silver Surfer was better? Jack Kirby or Mobius?
Oh, fucking Jack Kirby.
I agree with you. Jack Kirby's Silver Surfer was better. And the ensign who said Jack Kirby's Silver Surfer was the only Silver Surfer kills the guy that said Mobius was the only one. And there's a great quote. Let me find it. I've got it right here.
And Denzel's like, the only Silver Surfer is the Mobius, is the Kirby Silver Surfer.
It's not Denzel. It's like a little Hispanic dude. Petty Officer First Class Daniel Rivet. I said the Kirby Silver Surfer was the only real Silver Surfer and that Mobius of a Silver Surfer was shit. And Benefield's a big Mobius fan. And it got out of hand. I pushed him. He pushed me. I lost my head. Sir, I'm sorry.
No, there is also a quote where Denzel says something about the Silver Surfer, where he says that the Kirby Silver Surfer is the only Silver Surfer.
Yeah. You have to set an example, even in the face of stupidity. Everybody who reads comic books knows the Kirby Silver Surfer is the only true Silver Surfer. Now, am I right or am I wrong?
That's pretty good.
Amazing argument.
That's pretty good.
He beats the hell out of this guy. They get in a full-on fist fight over the Silver Surfer in the submarine, and I will never forget it. It was amazing.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, God. Such a great movie. Gene Hackman and... God, I'm too drunk.
Denzel Washington.
And Denzel Washington going head-to-head in a submarine with their lower officers fighting over the Silver Surfer. It was wonderful. I screamed.
Pretty good.
When I saw it.
Pretty good.
This Look, question turned out to be so much better.
We
than
need to wrap it up because we have nothing poignant to add in this condition. God.
I am so proud of you guys for coming through on this one. I thought this was going to be horrible.
Thank you for carrying us through
really.
When we are obviously too impaired to add anything meaningful.
I thought this question was going to be bad.
Okay.
This was amazing. Joe Patrick,
wrap it up.
We have a new question.
Do we?
We have a new question.
Are we going to do that?
We're doing it. I need you to tell them. I need you to open the... There you go. go ahead and come back to it. I'll press pause.
This week's question comes from the Goocher, Black Scorpion. He watched us this whole night. He saw us at our most vulnerable.
We were nude. It was
and
ugly.
And still, he loved us and he contributed like we were his own children's. He asks, Ronda Rousey lost. And while the world acknowledges a quote unquote upset, the contender, Holly Holm, was really just an effective boxer that everyone dismissed. It makes me think of the upsets and the underrated in comic book battles. There are a number of times when writers finally realize the potential of an underutilized power. What is your favorite underdog comic book battle story?
I'm going to warn you guys.
Ba-boom!
My answer is so good.
I got a great
My
answer.
My answer too. Is so good. I have goosebumps thinking about it.
I got a great answer, too. I guess thank you guys
you
are just going to have to deal with being second best.
Thank you to everybody that called in this week. This was, I don't know if it's the booze speaking, but goddamn, you guys were amazing.
It was the booze speaking. You, not that you weren't amazing, but
no,
it was.
I'm saying it's not. You guys were amazing. Maybe I got a little emotional a couple of times, but holy shit. You guys killed it this week. We love everybody that calls into this show. If you're thinking about calling in, I'm telling you, please do so. We love new callers. We will have another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd hitting this weekend, whether you like it or not. But for now,
you can't stop us.
This is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off. We're so drunk, we don't even know what's going to happen.
Let's eat pizza and watch Lethal Weapon.
I'll be honest, our clothes are coming off.
So let me get this straight. You idiots censor your curse words, but encourage binge drinking. Way to set an example. Hashtag don't drink and podcast. And what was with all the burping? Disgusting. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. Share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please. If these idiots think I'm going to dispatch a drone to clean up their puke, they've got another thing coming. Superman or Green Lantern.